We hear these words from Acts chapter 1, 9 through 11. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Thank you for these words of truth, O Lord. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Some pictures of Jesus' ascension into heaven show our Lord with the marks, the nail marks in his hands and his feet. And maybe you've also seen pictures of his second advent, when he's going to come again in glory. And the artists, too, may have depicted him with the nail marks and the hands and the feet. We can imagine the spear mark in the side. Well, I guess we have reason to believe that will be the case, right? You know, because of our Lord's showing Thomas that after his resurrection, of course. This same Jesus, said the angels, who's taken up from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. It's interesting in the book of Revelation, too, right, that it says about the fact that, he's coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. The love marks are going to be there, and how wonderful it will be. Can you picture yourself being there on that occasion? Imagine if you and I were there with the apostles that day at that Bethany long ago. We say Bethany because Luke does tell us in his gospel account it was in that vicinity. He also talks about it in the book of Acts as being on the Mount of Olives where this occurred. Those places are very close together. For 40 days, Jesus had given evidence to the disciples that he was really resurrected. And he had also taught them many things, letting them know how things were to be as he would be ascending into heaven and what they were to be doing. This is the Jesus who had done so many things for them. This is the Jesus who also had appeared to them at a mountain in Galilee not long before, or somewhere in the 40 days there. There, and he had given him the Great Commission, right, to go and make disciples of all nations. Someone in the crowd that day, and all of them asking the question there, is it this time, Master, that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Do you and I think that we would have been above the apostles that way and had a little better understanding of the whole situation? Or would we too have had to remind ourselves? Yeah, have the Holy Spirit remind us of the spiritual and eternal kingdom our Lord had come to bring. The Holy Spirit was indeed promised by our Lord right there on that time of the ascension. The Holy Spirit would be poured out on these apostles in a very special way, giving them tremendous powers. It's going to come 10 days from this moment. And then, right before his body goes up before them, then Jesus has those interesting words and he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. The theme of the book of Acts. What a spectacular sight then occurs, the Lord going up. Can you imagine what this must be like? 14 years ago, how old were you at that time? Probably pretty young. Your parents maybe took you outside of the town or the city you're living in and had you look up in the sky, see the comet, Hale-Bopp. It was something to see. It was there for about 18 months, I guess, or so, for people to see. Tremendous sight, really. Remarkable. But what's Hale-Bopp compared to what we're talking about here in the text? This is a bop, we can say, is just a blip. But tremendous, this ascension of our Lord right up there into heaven. And what a meaning it has for us as Christians. Awesome event. It has so much meaning to us. Where do we have a depiction of this? You know, right outside the exterior of this wall behind me here, the depiction of our Lord's ascension into heaven. This is the very body that goes up to be at the right hand of the Father, the very one who had come there at the manger, the very one who had walked on this earth and fed the 5,000 and the 4,000 and healed the lame and the blind, even raising people from the dead. This is the one who was nailed to the cross for sins, all sins, your sins, mine, every person in the world. This is the one who comes forth out of the tomb. But it's interesting that that very actual moment of him coming out of the grave clothes there was not witnessed by human eyes at that time. But now this event is witnessed by many as he goes up. And then there's a cloud that covers the sight. What do you think it would have been like for you and me there? Would we have turned to one another and said, "Wow, that was something. Well, come on, let's go. Let's get out of here now. Let's beat the crowd." I doubt it. I would guess that the angel's words to the apostles would have been needed for you and me also, and that is, "Why are you standing here gazing into the sky?" Awesome event. Isn't there an implication in what the angels are telling the apostles here? And that is, come on now, go about your work. I remember one of our professors used to say in the seminary, he says, yes, we're to be heavenly minded. We know that the saying is that while the Christian is in the world, he's not of the world. We're to be heavenly minded, of course, but he said, we're not supposed to be so heavenly minded that we're of no earthly good. And the thought here would be that, oh, the Lord hasn't told us that we're to go have some monastic existence now and just stand there gazing into the sky, but we're to go about the work that he's given us to do. We're not to be like Peter at the Mount of Transfiguration and wanting to build some kind of a tabernacle there and just sit there forever and ever, waiting and looking. But no, go down the mount. What's the takeaway for us as we think about the second advent of our Lord, and particularly how ascension relates to that when the angels give us that message that he's going to come back in the same way again? Well, first of all, yes, let's keep in mind our Lord really is going to come again, and it's an amazing event to look forward to. But that can also bring some fear to us, because you and I know that's awesome power. We know what we're like. We have our sinfulness before the Lord. Each one of us knows how we violated the commands of our Lord in thought, word, and deed so often. We could cringe when we think of that kind of power being displayed there. And this, look at it, the last day especially, coming with all the angels and judgment day. But we have no reason to be afraid, because if we remember ascension, why is it that the Lord ascends into heaven? He ascends into heaven because he has indeed completed all his work for us. He has fulfilled every detail for our forgiveness and salvation. So now we look forward to the grand finale. But then secondly, we want to be about our work, right? Yeah, like the angel said, don't stand there gazing. We want to be about our work. Think of all the vocations right now on this campus you're training yourself for. We've got so many. Whatever it is you're going to be doing in life, go about it with the understanding that the Lord, who rules now all things, he's at the right hand of the Father, rules all things for the good of his church. Can you make a difference in the life of someone? Maybe more than someone. Could it be that it even is going to start right here on the campus of Bethany, of this Bethany? And then we also want to take away this, and that is, let's set our minds now, our hearts and minds, on the things above. The Apostle Paul said this to the Colossians, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Instead of dwelling so much on stuff and stuff in our luggage bag that's really going to perish, all the pleasures and things of this life and so on, and having our focus so much there, let's have our focus on what's lovely, what's admirable, what's good, honorable, and especially then on word and sacrament, the very place that God directs us as He has us see how this ascended Lord continues to be with us in a very special way. What are you looking for? There's a double assurance at the ascension of our Lord, a double one, because He is our risen Lord, proving our forgiveness and salvation, our victory even over death too. But also He ascends into heaven. He is the ruler of all things. This same nail-marked Christ will be coming again. Rejoice and be glad. And now let's get to work. Amen. We pray. Risen and ascended Lord, return to us as you have gone, even as white-robed angels promised. And during this Advent season and always, keep our hearts and minds on your coming through faith in your redeeming work. Now be with us and bless the labors of our hands for the good of your kingdom. Amen.